God is good
all the time.
All the time. Amen. The Word of God says, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me, please. God, strengthen me just one more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. And Joe, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. God, strengthen me just once more. I want to share with you a little while this morning, better than super glue, better than Gorilla Glue today. Better than Gorilla Glue. When I was a young boy, and that's been a long time ago, we were talking about all those stages of age, but I lived everywhere, all over the state of Kentucky. I wrote down some of the places I lived. I've lived in Allen, which is in Pike County. I lived in Stone, which is in Pike County. I lived in Sayersville, which is in McGoffin County. I lived in Orangeburg. I lived in Hillsboro. I lived at Science Hill. I lived at Lancaster. And I live in Flemingsburg. And that was just from the time I started school till I graduated from high school. That's a lot of places, isn't it? We moved all over the place. I never really knew what room my bedroom was going to be. I never knew exactly who my teacher was going to be the next year, because I didn't even know we'd live there for the next year. I would just move along. There was one constant thing, no matter where we lived, one constant thing that was always at our house. My mom, and I know Joe's probably sold a bunch of these lamps before, my mom had one of those big Flaherty lamps. Y'all know those big Flaherty lamps? They got a big bowl at the bottom. Then there's another one up here. And some of them you can turn, they're a three-way. You can get the top lit up, the bottom lit up. And then if you really want to go big time, you do what? Turn them both on, and they look really pretty. And Mama always would take that lamp and set it right there at the front window of the house, and it was always there. I knew no matter if we lived in Hillsboro, we lived in Lancaster, or we lived in Fleming County or Mason County or wherever that was, no matter where we lived, Mom was going to have that lamp at that front window. When I was in middle school, I tried out for middle school basketball. I was so excited to try out for middle school basketball. I was going to do everything that I could to make the Fleming County Middle School basketball team. I was so excited. Went and tried out for a couple days. And you're not going to believe it. Guess what your preacher did? He made the team. I was so excited. Had my basketball. Mama had some rules in the house. But a big rule was, don't dribble what? Your basketball in the house. I'd heard that over and over. It was sort of just there. I knew it was there. Any of the rest of you ever heard that from your mama before? Don't dribble the ball in the house. And Mom would go on and not only say, don't dribble the ball in the house, Mom would give me an example of what would happen if I did dribble the basketball in the house. She would say, honey, you dribble the basketball in the house, you're going to break something, and then Mama might have to break you, right? Well, I dribbled that basketball all the way home, and I got inside the house, and I was so excited, still dribbling that basketball, and I walked in the house, forgot that I had walked in the house, but the big rule of what? Don't dribble the basketball inside the house. And as soon as I walked into the living room, I was dribbling it. I was doing between the legs, behind the back, and getting the dog, left hand, right hand dribbling. I was the all-star of the Fleming County Middle School basketball team. And right as I walked into the living room, that ball hit my right foot. It went up in the air. It was sort of like a magnet, I think. That ball went flying through the air, right towards Mama's lamp, hit that lamp. And it was like it was in slow motion replay. Ever happened to you in your life? It starts to fall, and slowly, even though you're trying to get over there, slowly, 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 it hit the ground, and pieces went everywhere, all over the living room floor. And all of a sudden, I had a sense of remembering things again. Mama said, don't dribble the ball in the house, because if you dribble the ball in the house, you're going to break something, and then Mama is going to have to break you. Well, here I was an only child, which meant that I had nobody to blame it on. It was all me. It was all me. So I decided to get some Elmer's glue. Y'all remember Elmer's glue? White, and, you know, take it to school, get all over your fingers. And this wonderful preacher that you have decided, I'm going to put it back together again. And I started gluing it and gluing it and gluing it. And parts of the pieces went back together. Some of the pieces were missing. They were probably underneath the couch. I didn't worry too much about those. Got it up, put it all back together again, had it sitting there on the table. Oh, it didn't look very good. It was the Leaning Tower of the Mills house, I can tell you what. And it was just sitting there, and it just looked all. I thought to myself, as a, you know, a middle school kid, you think to yourself, she's not going to notice it. She's not going to see it. Everything's going to be all right. My mama came in the back door of the house, walked in the living room. It was like a magnet to her. As soon as she walked in, she said, what did you do to my lamp? Well, first of all, now, I ask forgiveness of this. But the first thing I said, you know what I said? I don't know, Mama. What? I don't know. What happened? What? Did Daddy do it? Did Daddy break the lamp? I don't know. Did you trip this morning? Did you do something this morning? Did you break the lamp? What happened? What happened, Mama? I don't know. Well, you know, Mamas have a way, as Debbie was saying this morning, Mamas have a way of just sort of reading your mind, don't they? And they know what's going on in there, even though you're not saying words. They still know what's going on. And she looked at me and said, tell me the truth. Well, I told her the truth. And Mama did give me some punishments. I'm not going to tell you all the punishments, because probably would have called social services back in the day, but Mama gave me the punishment and all types of things. And I remember for all that summer mowing grass and doing everything else that I can, mowing and mowing and mowing, and finally got enough money to buy the lamp that we still have at our house. Y'all can come over and see it sometime if you want to. Lamp's still there. It still works. We can turn it on and off. But all I could think in my mind was, not only had I broke that lamp, but I had hurt my mama. I had hurt my mama. Now, that lamp went in 1,000 pieces. Sometimes our life is like that, isn't it? Sometimes our life is just broke in 1,000 pieces. You look at the scripture I read to you this morning. Samson, mighty and strong, the strongest around, that could take care of everybody, all the problems, everything in their life. And most folks looked at Samson, as big as he was, and says, you know, he don't have no problems. He has no issues. He can defeat anybody. Nobody's going to mess with him. Nobody's going to bother him. Samson is just perfect. But the scripture says that the one big thing that Samson couldn't have, he couldn't have his hair cut. Just couldn't have it cut. And if he had it cut, it was a covenant between Samson and God. And if Samson broke that covenant, then he would lose all of his power. Well, guess what? Samson's hair got cut, didn't it? And now when we read the scripture that I read to you this morning, Samson's life is in 1,000 pieces. He's lost all of his strength. He's lost everything all around about him. And he don't know what to do. Well, all of us today can say, we know what that lamp looked like when it broke in pieces. We know what Samson's life looked like when it broke in pieces. The question today is, how do we overcome those situations in our life? First of all, I believe today that we can grow stronger in our faith when we're in those broken pieces, can't we? We can go stronger in the grace of God and learn more about ourselves. Over in James chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, it says, Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. It is easy today to see the mistakes of others, isn't it? It's easy. See, when Sheila and I were driving back from Gulf Shores, I pointed out a lot of people's mistakes about the lane that they're supposed to be in. They're driving too slow. They need to not be on the bumper. They need to leave me alone. They need to be over there. I'm sure other people looked at me on the way home and go, he need to drive faster. He need to be over in that other lane. He didn't need to cut me off. But so often we don't look at our own what? Mistakes. We love to look at everybody else's mistakes. And we love to judge them by their mistakes, even though we make the same what? Mistakes. We do. Scripture says, we all stumble in many ways. Boy, we could say amen to that, right? We all stumble in many ways. We all do things that are not perfect in our lives. What do we do about those things? One of the things that we have to realize is when we make a mistake, it's okay to say, you made a mistake. It's okay to say that. So often we just don't want to do that, do we? A lot of people say, if I show that I made a mistake, they're going to look at me and they're going to think I'm weak. Well, guess what? We're all weak together, aren't we? Because we've all what? Made mistakes. My uncle, I had eight uncles, as I've shared with you before. Mama had eight brothers, and she was the only girl. And we'd get around a big old table to eat from time to time, and my uncles would all be there. And my uncles went to church, but they had, you know, we have a vocabulary when we're at church. And then a lot of folks out in the world have a different vocabulary, don't they? Certain words that you don't say at church, but you say out there. Well, one of my uncles had a big problem with some words that you don't say at church. And he was sitting around the table. His little boy was sitting beside him. My uncle had a glass of milk, got that milk in his hand, and all of a sudden he set it down, and my uncle went like this. The milk went flying onto the floor, and my uncle said a few choice words about what had just happened. Words that you don't say at church. Well, my uncle's little boy was sitting right there, heard everything that my uncle said, soaked it all in. It was okay for Daddy to say these words. A little bit longer ago, a lot later in the day, we were all outside playing. Everybody was on the front porch. All my uncles was out there. We were just having a big old time playing ball. We were doing this and we were doing that. All of a sudden, we hit a grounder to my little cousin. He missed the ball. And guess what? He missed the ball. And right as he missed the ball, some words came out of his mouth that you're not supposed to say at church. It was interesting. It was the same words that my uncle had just said. And my uncle jumped all over him. You don't say those words. You know better than that. You don't say those words. My little nephew looked at my uncle and said, well, Daddy, didn't you just say those words? He had to swallow big deep, didn't he? So often we have our own standard and we say, you don't do it, but it's okay for me to do it. We all make mistakes. And when we make those mistakes in our life and things start to crumble all around about us, we have to do something about it. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, it says, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in hope that you may forgive you for having such a thought in your hearts. A thought in your heart. What are you supposed to do when you find out that you've made a mistake, that things are crumbling around about you? What are you supposed to do? When I broke Mama's lamp, the only thing that I could do, we all figured out I didn't have Gorilla Glue there. I didn't have the type of glue that I needed to have. I couldn't put the lamp back together again. All I could say to my mama was what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. I am sorry. Of course, we always put that on the end of it. You have to watch this next statement. I'm sorry, and I will never do it again. Sometimes you just need to stop, don't you? Because sometimes we don't learn by our mistakes, and we do it all over again, don't we? But it's so important for us as Christians to realize the importance of, some folks say, well, only people that are not saved need to repent. Well, I want to tell you something. We all need to repent. We all do things every day. I sometimes pray and say to myself, God, I'm not sure what I did bad today, but forgive me, right? Just forgive me, God, for anything and everything that is there. But so often, we just want to hide our mistakes. Do you have your hiding spot at the house where you put things away? I still believe there's people, and Sheila's going to give me that look. I know she's going to, but I still believe there's people at my house come and move things on me. Any rest of y'all? You ever get that? It was there, and now it's what? It's gone. So I figured out there's certain things in my life that I just want to put in my own little place where I know it is, and nobody's going to move it unless they find out where my little place is. People have a really good chance of finding out my little places, you know, because we don't live in a very big place. But and so often we do that with our mistakes, don't we? We take them. We don't want anybody to know. We take them and we hide them somewhere. And we say to ourselves, if I hide it enough, nobody is ever going to find out about my mistakes. I'm never going to have to ask for what? Repentance. I'm never going to have to ask for forgiveness. It's going to only be to me. Nobody else is ever going to know about it. But one of the things that we have to realize, and it comes very quickly to all of us, there's somebody else that knows all your mistakes, isn't it? Somebody that knows all of your mistakes. Somebody that knows everything that you've done. Somebody that knows every place that you've hid those things. Somebody that knows all of those things about you. And guess what? It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your kids. It's not your grandkids. Not the people that you work with. He's bigger than that, isn't he? God knows all of them. He knows all of your hiding places. He knows everything that you're doing. But what is so great about God? There's a lot of things great about God. But isn't it great when you ask God for repentance? What does he do? He forgives you. That's amazing, isn't it? You ask him and all he does is forgive you. Some people say, I'm not going to ask God to forgive me. He's going to do that. He's going to do all this to me. No. God didn't do any of that. All that God does is forgive you. All that God wants to do is love you. All that God wants to do is tell you how important you are to him. So you've made a mistake. You know what it is. You've got repentance in your heart. Next, you've got to make the change. You've got to make the change. Over in Ephesians 6:6, it says, obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your hearts. After repentance, we have to make changes in our life, don't we? You just can't say you're sorry. You have to live like you're sorry. You have to have that in your mind every day and know that you're going to make a change in your life. You ever have your kids come up to you and they'll go, Mama, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mama. I'm sorry. Now, if they come up to you and said, I'm sorry, and they do the same thing again in the next 5 to 10 minutes, what's going through your mind? They wasn't sorry at all. Wasn't sorry at all. All they were saying was words to me that I wanted to hear. They had no change in their life. Well, folks, I want to tell you something. A lot of us are not kids, but a lot of us do the same thing to God, don't we? We go to God and say, God, I made a mistake. God, I want to ask for repentance. I want to ask forgiveness. And God says, I forgive you. And it don't take us long to do what? Do the exact same thing again. What's so great about God is this. He's going to forgive you again, isn't he? I'm going to forgive you again. But I believe truly that God says to us, learn from your mistakes, turn away from your wicked ways, and learn more how to live a life that is pleasing to me. So now, you found out your mistakes, you've repented those sins, you're going to do your very best not to do it again. What's that last step? Rejoice in your new unbroken life. Rejoice in your new unbroken life. I liked it when Laurie said this morning that she's had a good sense, a good feeling of God this past week. Isn't that a great time to have? When you can feel that presence of God. And a lot of times that's right after you've let something go. Right after that, life is good right now. And good things are happening in your life. Over in 2 Chronicles 7:14 it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I sure wish that there was a way that God could have healed Mama's lamp. I want to tell you. I would have what? Jumped for joy and said, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for, I'm not going to be broke now. Mama's lamp's all put back together and everything is all right. God couldn't do that, but God does a lot of other things for us to rejoice about, doesn't it? And when God brings you through something, don't start patting yourself on the back and saying, boy, I did a great job. I don't know where I'd be without me. I know everything. I don't need anybody's help. I believe when God brings you through a situation, the big thing you need today to do is to tell Him how thankful you are for what He has done for you. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever used Gorilla Glue before, but it's a whole lot better than Elmer's glue, I can tell you. And I've even had this problem before. I don't know if the rest of you have had. I've used some of that glue, and you get it on one finger, and it sticks to another finger, and you almost have to pry your fingers apart with a crowbar, right? Because it's tight. I want you to know today when your life is in trouble and it's all broken apart, and you don't know what to do, you don't know where to turn, you don't know what's going on in your life, you don't know how you're going to be able to handle that. We serve a God that can put your life back together better than just with Gorilla Glue, couldn't it? A God that fixed you back perfect, without blemish, without flaw. A God that has everything there for you. So today, maybe your life is broken right now. Maybe you don't know what to do or who to turn to or what you need to do. Whatever that is today, we serve a God that can put you back together again. All that you have to be willing to do today is do that repentance and learn from those mistakes. Maybe today's the day you have salvation come into your heart and your life. Maybe today's the day that you say that I want to make that change in my life completely. I want to take all this broken sin and I want to turn it over to God and I want God to forgive me and I'm going to live a better life. Well, this would be a great day. Also be a great day for others that would like to become a new member here at this church. Whatever God talks to you about today, He can mold you, He can shape you, and He can make you perfect and whole again. Listen to Him this morning as we have our closing song. Joan Laura.